Land Conquest.
All right, today I have Jay Chikansky with me, and Jay and I did a recent deal through Partner with Pete program. We partnered on a deal, so I figured it'd be a great idea to get Jay on and kind of talk about the experience with the deal. We'll kind of break down the deal and also talk about kind of your background and how you got into the land flipping business and all that stuff. So first of all, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
So I guess a great place to start would be just kind of telling me about your sort of background with land flipping, how you got into all this.
Sure. So I started as a real estate investor in March of 2015 and was flipping houses and progressively got smarter in real estate from flipping houses. Was doing a ton of buying houses and then reselling them with seller finance. I have bought self-storage. I have flipped mobile home parks. And I'd done 15 land deals where I bought these parcels came as portfolios that I was purchasing from single family homeowners. And I would just turn around and resell them on terms, never really thinking that this was a viable business. And I was part of a mastermind group. And there's a gentleman who lives in Spain, but flips vacant land parcels in Florida. And I'm like, well, if he can do that from Spain, I can do that. You know, I was looking to move into a more remote and flexible business. When you're working with single family homes, if you're going to be buying properties at a discount, it works best to be face to face with home sellers and control the acquisition process. With land, it can be done completely remotely. It was proven to me by the international buying and selling that was being done. And that coincided with a move from North Carolina to California. And I decided, all right, about a year ago, it's time to go into land full time.
That's great. Yeah. You know, I've run into a number of investors that are in Europe and, you know, all over the world, and they're buying and selling land in the US. And I'm like, that's awesome. It's a lot of guts to do that, because if I try to put myself in the opposite shoes, like if I was going to be buying and selling land in Europe somewhere, it would be daunting, I'm sure, you know? So especially in the case, like, you know, that's English is not their first language in Spain. So it's gotta be challenging,
yeah.
But you know, there's certainly opportunity here, and it does illustrate your point that, you can do it from anywhere. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you've run the gamut with all kinds of different investments and things over the years. How do you feel like land compares to some of those other asset classes?
Yeah, so there's pros and cons to each, right? When you're with vacant land, there's no depreciation, there's no tax advantages. Aside from doing seller finance, there's no real recurring income. So there's limitations to it. On the pro side, it can be done from anywhere in the world with an internet connection, and you could flip vacant parcels of land.
Yeah.
So for a pure cash generating business, it's a great model. It's in the whole real estate investment realm, I think still relatively niche. A lot of people don't know about it. We are seeing compression of, you know, marketing efficiency due to new players coming into the game, but it's still relatively under the radar in terms of real estate and getting started.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously there's a lot of attention in the home flipping space, and even, you know, like multifamily and some of the other asset classes as well. But land is kind of the forgotten one in a lot of cases. And that's okay. It's easier for the rest of us, I guess. Not as many people pay attention to it, but it's interesting because land, I guess, is not as, you know, exciting as some of these other asset classes. Like you're not going in and transforming the home and doing something really cool with it and turning it into an Airbnb and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I guess it doesn't have the appeal like some of those other assets have. But for me, you know, I'm just looking at it like you do. It's just like a great short-term cash generating kind of like machine that you can get up and running. And, you know, if you have a desire to do some of those other asset classes and to bring in the long-term income and wealth building and everything like that, then that's a great strategy to combine the two. You've got the cash generating side, and then you, you know, you siphon off the profits in order to buy long-term assets.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's not sexy. There's not a lot of drama. We're never going to get an HGTV show flipping land parcels or anything like
that. Yeah.
But from a remote based cash generating business, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Before we get into kind of the deal and everything like that, that we did together, since you've got kind of a really varied experience in real estate investing, what's an interesting story? Like, I'm sure there's been some interesting stuff that's come, you know, that's happened to you over the years. So what's one interesting one that you can kind of pick out and highlight for us?
Interesting story from, okay. Oh man. So, I spent, before California, I was in North Carolina for 13 years and did a lot of investing in the rural upstate of South Carolina, so outside of the Greenville, Spartanburg area, and had a ton of success buying manufactured homes on land. So, you know, these were double wides with 1, 2, 3, 5 acres. And it's another spot where when these homes are in disrepair, it's an illiquid asset. And we found a way to, you know, it's again, not a sexy business model, never going to get an HGTV show flipping these homes, but the margins are unbelievable. So, picked up a property, sight unseen. This is probably in 2017, early 2018. And the gentleman had gone to jail or prison or something, and the home went into foreclosure. We picked it up. Go there. Have to break open the front door, and the door swings open. There is a, you know, there's probably like the living room was double wide, high ceilings and everything. There's a big pool table right in there in the living room, and a sex swing hanging from the ceiling over the top of the pool table. And there was three of us standing at the front door going, huh? And one guy goes, trailer people have all the fun.
The best one-liner he could come with. That was a good one.
It took the offer out of the situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the crazy thing about real estate. There's always crazy situations and things, especially when you're dealing with the homes and having to, you know, deal with the people that are living in the homes. Obviously, you've got a bunch of unique and awkward situations that come up. So even real estate agents, they all have, you know, crazy stories. You know, if you're doing enough and you're getting out there enough, there's strange things that you run into. So I always like to ask that question because there's just, some good stuff, but anyhow, so, aside from the crazy stuff, what has been kind of like the biggest deal that you've done? Like what's been a deal that's like, you'd love to repeat over and over again, or maybe not the most profit, but your favorite, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So, the third quarter of 2022 ended up buying a self-storage facility outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And that was bought. I had a business partner, generate the lead. And then in meeting with and speaking with the owner, we were able to structure a seller finance deal where, you know, we agreed on a low million-dollar purchase price, a reasonable down payment, ended up bringing in a capital partner for the down payment and breaking off a piece of equity. So now I got into a multi-million-dollar self-storage facility with zero out of pocket. And seller finance, you know, 10 years, some other, you know, favorable terms. And hey, we're helping this previous owner. We're funding her retirement. And she gave us great cash flowing terms to acquire and improve a property. And man, if I could crank out, you know, 5 or 6 more of those, life would look really good for the next 30 or 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice. So have you done a lot of self-storage projects or
That's the only self-storage facility thus far. But I've done a number of deals where I'm able to structure seller structure creative finance either on the front end or on the back end and put some really cool deals together.
Yeah, yeah. The creative financing, seller financing, so powerful. You know, you got to have the knowledge to be able to put these deals together. But once you kind of do, a whole new world unlocks for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're able to get creative like that, you're able to solve a couple of problems, whether it's, you know, your finance problems or a seller's cash flow, tax, or depreciation problems. It really is a win-win when you're able to speak with a seller sophisticated enough to have a good conversation about seller finance with you.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, and that's kind of the segue, a good segue into the Partner with Pete program, because it's simply a more of a creative way to buy land and to do a land deal with a partner rather than having to, you know, come up with all the funds for yourself. So this is the particular deal that we did together. You know, you found the deal, you got it under contract and everything like that. You know, you submitted it to us. It was an obvious deal for me right from the start. And so I agreed to fund the deal. So we funded the deal, kind of did every other step of the process. And then when we resold the property, we split the profits 50-50. So good win-win deal. And obviously it's a creative way. You don't have to use all your own cash to buy these pieces of land. And it can still be a really good win for both sides. So I'm always in favor of the big win-win scenarios, because when both sides are winning, then both sides want to do the deal and do more business together. So, so in this particular deal, are you fine with me breaking down the numbers and everything?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Very good. So this property, it was in the Southeast. And you brought it to, you know, you submitted to the program. It was a little over 9-acre property. And I believe it was 9-acre property. My memory serves me. And
9.25.
Okay, yeah. There you go. And so the property, you got it under contract, I think, for $35,000 and some change. And by the time, you know, we did the closing costs and all those were tacked on, it was $36,670 was like the total acquisition cost. And you already had found a really good agent in the area as well, you know, which really helped us in selling this property. But and then as well, we decided to invest about $2,500 into clearing. So it was kind of like a jungle. So as a lot of these properties are, and brush clearing is one of those things that we do a lot of times to kind of, it's an inexpensive way to really add some value to a property and to make it much more appealing to an end buyer. So we decided to have a company go out and do that. It was $2,500. And I think it really made a big difference in the property itself. So
yeah, I definitely
agree
with
that. We put the property on the market for $79,900. And I think in a matter of days or a week or so, we got an offer and then negotiated a deal at $75,500, I believe it was. So, and then closing went smoothly on that deal and everything. And at the end of the day, there was a total profit of $26,919, which meant profits for each of us of $13,459. So, and we only held this property for 63 days. As well. So that's a good quick hold and, you know, kind of a good bread and butter type land flip. So,
yes.
Yeah. So not a home run by any means, but, really still really good for each party and one I would do over and over and over again. So, how did you find the deal? Do you generate your deals by direct mail or SMS or what's your method of choice?
I do both direct mail and SMS. That particular lead came from a text campaign. And that was a deal that there was a little back and forth with my acquisition manager and the property owner on that. And, you know, settled in on a number that worked for both parties. I knew going into that $35,000 acquisition price was probably, you know, to the good, maybe a, you know, 42 or 43% of what I expected it to resell for. You know, I had a, you know, just from my own comps analysis, I was expecting that to sell for between 75 and 80. And I think you and your team independently came up with basically the same number. And then we got confirmation. I reached out to a local real estate broker in the area, and he came back with a range that had, had our numbers within that. So made sense from that standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, it's great when everyone's in alignment on the expected value and everything. I mean, sometimes these properties are so unique that you never really know until you put it out there in the market and see what happens. But this property was pretty clear, I think, with the comps, and there were some good comps around, and there was a lot of activity. So I think we were pretty certain on what it would go for, unless, something weird came up, I guess. But so, yeah, to me, I'm always looking for a double. So, buy for 35, sell for 70. That's always a good benchmark. So that this met that criteria, and it was a clear deal for me, and it made sense to move forward with it. So I guess my next question is, when you bring the next deal? Actually, we do have another deal going.
We do have another deal going, and I might have another one this afternoon for you. I'm verifying legal access on a parcel under contract right now.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so I'm looking for as many deals as I can get. So, whenever you've got something, I would love to partner with you again and everything. So, from your perspective, how did the partner with Pete program work? And don't be shy if you have any criticisms or ways to improve. I'm all ears to that as well.
If it was a Google review I was leaving you, it'd be 5 stars. So, throughout the whole process, I was really blown away with how not only responsive, but proactive on the communication side of things. Real transparent, timely responses, good information. You guys, there was a delineation mark where your team took over communication with the seller and led the transaction process. And that freed me up to go work on acquiring other property, like doing the things that I enjoy doing, which is hunting down the next property.
That's where you'll make the most money doing that instead of the rest of the stuff,
Yeah, exactly. And I don't have a team or systems built out on the dispo side. Everything we do is loaded on the front end for the acquisition side of things. So to be able to partner someone with someone that you can trust, that gets things done, that is transparent, that takes care and leads the transaction after the handoff point, it was settling from my standpoint, knowing that this was going to get taken care of.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Yeah, and I can't take all the credit. I've got a great team behind me. Obviously, I review the deals, and I think that's my area of expertise. But I've got a great team built out that kind of handles every other step of the process, and so I have to give them credit for that. But that's great to hear, and I appreciate that feedback, Jay. So, So where do you see now? Are you 100% focused on land now, or are you doing other asset types as well?
Yeah, still doing some other assets. So obviously managing the portfolio that I have with the other properties and businesses that I own. And then I'm also doing anywhere from 20 to 30 houses per year over in the Charlotte, North Carolina, upstate South Carolina, where we are. Basically what we're doing is we buy houses, bringing in private lenders, and purchase the properties, fix them up, and then we resell them with seller financing, wrapping that second mortgage around the first. So it's really good for our lenders, where they're secured in a 40 to 50% loan to position, and we collect a down payment on the front end. We collect cash flow every month in the middle, and then we've got a paper asset that has value and can be converted to cash or traded for real estate on the other side of all that.
That's cool. So do you ever sell those notes, or?
Sell or hypothecate. Hypothecate's the smarter way to do it, meaning that we're pledging that note as collateral for another loan. That way, if you sell the note, you expose yourself to capital gains tax. But with a hypothecation, that's kind of like a cash out refinance on a rental property, where we're pledging that note as collateral and getting a loan.
Wow, against it. That's interesting. Now, are you able to get full credit for that whole note amount, or do they discount that a little bit in order to protect themselves a little?
So it is usually discounted. Reason being is, you know, if you sell a house for $250,000 and you try to, you try to sell it with a 14% interest rate, no one's ever going to be able to pay it off. So we're selling these properties at 9 and 10% interest rates. And then when you go to either hypothecate or sell any or all of that promissory note, you're looking at having to discount that to a yield of anywhere between 10 and 14%, depending on a few factors, which is a lot less of a discount than if you were selling a raw land promissory note to someone else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, to sell a raw land promissory note, if it's structured properly, you're normally taking at least a 20% discount, I think. So unless it's really seasoned, maybe you could get more out of it. But yeah, so that's very interesting. You know, I don't hear a lot of people talking about doing that particular business model. So you get a private lender to basically fund the purchase, and do they fund the rehab as well?
Correct. Yep. So everything has been gross funded at closing on the acquisition.
Okay. Interesting. And from the beginning, they probably, I guess they realize that they're going to kind of stay, the money's going to stay invested on that property. And then
that's correct. Yep. So with every deal we get under contract, a lending opportunity gets pushed out to my email list of private lenders. And these are folks, this isn't hard money, Pete. This isn't, the Kiabis and the Lima One or anything like that. These are high net worth folks or high wage earner folks or a good part of our lenders are folks with self-directed IRAs, and they don't want the full-time job of vetting multiple short-term fix and flip loans. They want their money to work for anywhere from 2 to 5 years at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good win-win for both sides. You know, talking about the win-win thing, they're getting a great return on their money. You're able to put that money to use and generate additional money from it. They keep it invested because, you know, the new end buyer is going to be paying a mortgage and you're wrapping around that existing loan. And then if they get paid off, and then they can, then they can put that money to work again in some other asset. So that's pretty cool. So, and plus after it's rehabbed and everything like that, they're going to be probably at a pretty low LTV. So, which is nice as well.
Yeah. It's usually in the 40 to 50% range with loan.
Is it really? Yeah.
Loan to value. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So yeah, they're in a safe position. They're earning a great return. That's pretty cool. So are you finding all those deals off the market, I assume? Are you working with wholesalers too, or?
I would say 60% were off market deals. So same channels that we're doing in land. Direct mail still works. Texting works. Again, seeing like massive compression in the efficiency with that source. We bought a couple of properties on market. We've got local brokers in the area that push us listings that they know that if someone doesn't come in there with cash, it's just going to sit on the market.
It's not something that's going to sell with a conventional loan.
yeah, exactly.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate all of your time today, Jay. I got to pick your brain some more about all these other investments and things that you're doing. I'm always looking for new things as well. Land is obviously my favorite, but I always look for dabble in other things as well. So we're going to have to get together. You live right up the road, not too far from me. So when I say right up the road, probably maybe an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, something like that.
Yeah, 45 to an hour.
Yeah, yeah. So next time you come down to the airport, let's make it happen and we'll meet up.
That sounds good. Well, I've got a couple of, if you've got a minute or two, I've got a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, fire away.
What big goals are you working on this year for your land business?
Well, big goal this year is to hit $20 million in revenue. Last year, my goal was $10 million. I didn't hit it, but I got about 8.2 when the year settled out. So I guess as they say, as you shoot for the moon, if you miss, you'll end up with the stars. So that's kind of my thing. So I shoot pretty high. And if I miss it a little bit, then I'm still pretty high. Trying to do $20 million in revenue in land deals this year. And that will equate to about $7 million in gross profit is what I'm trying to do. So that's kind of the big goal. And, getting there is a matter of doing more deals and doing bigger deals and kind of ramping everything up. So a big part of what I want to do this year, it's already working out that way, is more and more partner deals. So obviously I've got all of our own lead generation processes in place, and we're kind of working on some different avenues. We're doing direct mail, as we always do. We're also dabbling with pay-per-click to try to get that up and going correctly. And then also we've been dabbling with cold calling, not our team cold calling ourselves, but a service that we hired to kind of outsource the cold calling. So cold calling hasn't really produced a lot of great results for us, but the pay-per-click has been good. So I'd imagine that we'll be ramping that up. But you know, the issue with the pay-per-click though, it's you can't really target the properties. You can target the motivation, you know, like sell your land cash. You know, those are the types of keywords that people are typing in, you know, sell my land cash fast and stuff like that. So we get people filling out the form. They have these properties all over the country. And, you know, a lot of them are not properties we would want to buy because they're really too small, or they're maybe worth $1,000, or, you know, who knows what they are. So we get a lot of those types of things, but it's like anything else, you know, there's, you sift through enough and you're going to, you mine enough and you'll get to the gems. So that's what we're looking for. So, and then we also get random properties too, even though it's clearly land, you know, that we're advertising for, that we say we're buying land for cash, and we get homes sometimes and commercial properties and all kinds of random stuff sometimes.
What do you think are the one or two biggest challenges that you've got to overcome to get to the $20 million of revenue?
Yeah, building out a great team. You know, we're very well on our way to that. Getting some great people on board. So this is a business that, you know, the logistical side of things, it really can't automate a lot of it. So you kind of rely on really good team members to kind of help. And you know, we've been working on our processes. So those are definitely challenges. And as we grow even more, we'll need to add more team members. And you know, I don't want to hire just anyone. I only want to hire like really, really good people. So that's always the challenge. And thankfully, we've been able to assemble a really, really good team so far. So I'm kind of excited about that. And, you know, always just more and more deals. So the deal flow is really pretty good for us, but it always can be better. So I can't complain, I guess. And it's always a work in progress to improve the conversion of leads as well. So generate a lot of leads and converting as many of those as possible. And, you know, hoping that some of them don't get slip through the cracks like they do sometimes.
And now I see that you're kind of on the other side of some ancillary business measures, business ventures with the CRM, the coaching programs and stuff like that. Was there a lot of involvement from you?
Yeah.
In building those out? And was that a distraction or a bit of a burden for you with the core land business while you were building all that out?
Yeah. It's great questions. Yeah. So, you know, kind of the way that we've got things set up, we've got the business itself, the buying and selling land entity. And then we also have an entity, which is the education side of things and content. And that side of things just teaches people how to do the actual business model. So yeah, I've been heavily involved in that, and I spend a lot of my time on that every day. So it's kind of, I guess my time is split pretty evenly between those two ventures. I've got a COO for each business. So, you know, I'm trying to be out of a lot of the minute day-to-day stuff, but still setting the vision and still making a lot of the bigger decisions and things. Like I make all the decisions on the properties we buy, and I'm still negotiating deals and all that kind of stuff. But I've gotten to the point where I'm not doing everything within the business. I'm kind of trying to do the stay out of the little day-to-day stuff as much as possible. And then on the education side of things, you know, my big job is doing a lot of the content, you know, like this. Like we're filming content today for this, and also training of people in the mentorship program. And, you know, setting all the bigger vision type stuff and kind of keeping the ship moving in the right direction and working towards the goals and things that we want to do. So it's been a lot of fun. It's interesting because it all kind of ties together, because I know all the content that I put out there and everything like that gets more people to be interested in partnering on deals, you know, the Partner with Pete program and things like that. And we've got the training program, Land Conquest training program and community. And, you know, that obviously we teach people how to do this business for free, but in doing so, hopefully some of them will be interested in utilizing the mentorship program or doing, partner deals with us or something like that. So it's interesting how it all works together. So,
yeah.
But it's been really fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, because that leads to my last question, and I'll quit bugging you. So you've created and accomplished a ton since you started in March of 2020. Was that the first month, or January of 2020?
March of 2021 is when I flipped my first piece of land. That's when I did the first resale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So about 3 years now. What, with all that you've done, created, what has been the most fun?
Yeah. Well, it's been a lot of fun, you know, scaling up this land flipping business. It's, once I had firsthand knowledge that the business model actually worked, then I'm really the type that I want to press on the gas pedal as hard as I can with that type of thing. So I started cranking up the mail that I was sending out. Like I was sending out 100,000 letters a month. I've since dialed that back quite a bit. We've kind of been a little bit more targeted with our mailings and everything. But that's been fun. Just kind of doing more and more business to me. And I still love the deals. I love when we buy a good property at a great price. Because for me, that's kind of the exciting thing when we buy it. I know that we've got a really good deal. Kind of at like the opposite of my wife. We always talk about this. How like she loves it when we sell them. But I'm like, hey, when we buy the property, that's like when the money's made right there, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But for her, it's when she receives the wire into the account. So
yeah, I understand that. It's like when on the buy side, you know, it's like you said, that is when the money gets made, and then you're just waiting for the process of life for it to hit your bank.
Yeah, and to me, it's really exciting too when you buy a really cool property or something like that. You're like, oh, I own this property. I own 100 acres over in some state somewhere on the other side of the country. And I think about it sometimes. I'm like, look at all these properties that we own that we own and we're either selling or under contract to sell or something like that. And I'm like, man, it's really amazing to think about like all these properties all over the country. And physically, if you were to stand there and walk all these properties, it's like a lot of land and a lot of really cool pieces of land as well. Cause we're trying not to buy junk. You know, we try to buy only quality properties that, that buyers want to buy. So it's really interesting to think about it that way when you're looking at like the portfolio we've accumulated over time, and that portfolio value, continues to increase as well. Like right now, just kind of looking at a spreadsheet, I've got 20 properties under contract to resell. Those are ones that we own that were under contract to resell. And then 52 properties that we own as well that are on the actively on the market to sell. So it's kind of cool when you total up like the portfolio value of all these properties and everything, and kind of look at all the acres. And I don't know, it's just kind of fun. So I never would have thought I would have been a land investor. It was not anything that was on my radar at all. It's just kind of like when I stumbled into the business model, I was like, oh, this just makes too much sense. Like buying and selling stuff, buying it off market, selling it on market, and just made sense to me. And then it just kind of snowballed.
Yeah. Have you ever recorded a podcast where you walk through your journey with starting land and what that looked like if it was just you, and then how you've grown and built your team, and what like certain milestones or decision or pain points where you're like, okay, I got to hire someone here. I got to bring in a transaction coordinator. I got to bring in a COO. Like, I would love if you were to do a pod, record a podcast for your channel with something like that. That'd be, I think, feel like a ton of value.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? There was like a plane that flew overhead. I could barely hear anything. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So what I was saying, Yeah, it was just tossing out an idea for one of your podcasts is like your journey in growing your land business from, you know, like starting out as a solo operator, some of the pain that you experienced during your growth, a key hire, you know, your new responsibilities, the new pain, the next hire, you know, basically this organic growth path. I always love hearing stories like that because for some reason I can't figure it out on my own, but I can listen to someone else talk about it and then plug that stuff into my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great idea. I'm always looking for cool ideas to do. So if you think that'd be interesting, I'll do it. It's been an interesting journey, you know, and just kind of adding one piece at a time. And a lot of it was just kind of getting away from the stuff that I didn't want to do anymore. And then I would hire a teammate to kind of take over that stuff. And then, so it's a constant process of like getting things off my plate, you know, and then training someone to do that stuff for me and putting some systems in place to do that as well, you know, systematize some of these things. So some of the stuff that I've gotten off my plate a long time ago, we've had to kind of revisit numerous times to come up with better systems and better ways to do some of these things. But you know, it's all evolving and, you know, I think we're at a really good spot now where we've got some really good systems in place and, I'm not as responsible for as much stuff as I used to be. I'm still like, if I just went on vacation for a month, the business wouldn't run on its own at this point. So I'm not there yet, but I've got a few key hires that we're working on, you know, that specifically can evaluate properties and really, really get that side of things. I'm still kind of in the middle of all of that, but hopefully I can find people better than me at evaluating properties and determining value and everything like that. But so that's kind of the next part of the journey.
So you're doing all the underwriting with every parcel that comes in?
Yeah. You know, I've got team members that kind of do some of the initial stuff and everything, but I make the final decisions on what we're buying. You know, with the partner program, I'm still, my daughter, Maddie, actually, she does kind of the initial evaluation when all the deals come in and creates a map and kind of helps save some time for me. But then I look at it and kind of make a decision, you know, yes or no, if we can fund the deal or if I like the property, but it's just a matter of the price. And we'll go back to the investor and say, hey, we could do it, but you know, if you can get the price down to this, you know, so that happens sometimes as well. So
very good.
But yeah, fun journey for sure. So
yeah, great. Well, I appreciate you sharing all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on here and talking about Partner with Pete program and our deal. And then after we close out the next one, we're going to have to do another one if you're up for it. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy to.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Is there room in the studio for me down there if I was to drive down and do it live in person?
Yeah. You know what? We should do it. Yeah, definitely. We're actually in the middle of redoing our podcast studio a little bit. I'm at my desk here today, but we've got space for you. That would be fun.
That would be very cool.
To do an episode in person.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've ever done an in-person episode. It's all been remote. So we'll make it happen. That would be a good way to do it. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds great. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Jay. I really appreciate it. And I will see you on the next deal. Keep bringing those deals.
Will do. All right. Thank you, Pete.
All right. Thanks, Jay.